Now, if you don't have your copy of scriptures, you've heard me say it many, many times from this pulpit, you really need to get your own copy of God's word. And this morning specifically, because I'm going to be referencing verses 2 through 19 in Daniel chapter 9, but they're not going to come up on the screen. I specifically did not ask Zach to put them there so you could have your copy of God's word and see for yourself what it says, not just something I've put up on the screens. So I'll give you a chance to turn to Daniel chapter 9, and then we're going to begin our preaching. As we get started, I need to share a little bit about what happened to me as I was preparing for this message. You see, I was reading the chapters before and the verses after verse 19, and it made it even harder for me to hear God's word for you. You say, why? Well, the reason why is the verses that follow verse 19, the angel Gabriel shows up and tells Daniel how he's going to answer his prayer. Now, I'm going to give you a little secret. I mean, a little hint, guys. It's eschatology. Do you hear that, Tisa? Eschatology. Woo! I say it again. Eschatology. Woo! Eschatology. Ooh. I have to look here to spell it. I'm telling you. Eschatology. Now, Tisa and my wife really are not great fans of eschatology. You see, they say, look, Vernon, we read the end. The devil loses and we win. Amen? Woo! I'm ready for it. Well, I told Carol something while I was preparing for this, and I read this. You guys ever seen the movie Lion King? Well, in this movie, there's a scene where the hyenas are talking to each other. And this kind of reminded me. What I just said about eschatology, ooh, reminded me of it. I said, the two hyenas say, Mufasa, ooh, Mufasa, ooh. Say it with me, Tisa, eschatology, ooh. All right, I'm sorry, I digressed. I have to move on. As we go on to start here, I want to remind you of Daniel, where he's at, and what's happened. Some of you have probably heard the story. Maybe this is the first time some of you have heard it. You see, at 15 years old, Daniel was one of four boys that was kidnapped and taken to Babylon to be brainwashed into the Babylonian culture so that they could help in the task of assisting with dealing with the Jews that have been deported there. Daniel spent the rest of his life there, about 85 years. He quickly rose to the role of statesman, and he served as a confidant to the kings. Even after all of his teachings and training and brainwashing into the Babylonian cultures, Daniel and his three friends didn't forget about their home and particularly the temple in Jerusalem and the one true God. Those of you that have heard the story may remember when Daniel wouldn't bow down to an idol or worship the king, he was thrown into the lion's den for 30 days. And lived. You see, God had closed up the lion's mouths, and Daniel truly believed in God to save him. You see, also, there's these other three boys, if you remember, they were thrown into a fiery furnace and lived. God will save you. He will take care of you. These three boys genuinely, truly believed in God and in their prayers to Him. What about you, church? Do you genuinely believe and have faith in God? Does it show in your prayers? This brings us to our proposition. Our proposition is confession through genuine prayer will help you experience and enjoy God's love and mercy. Now we're going to look in Daniel verses 9, 2 through 19, and see an example of what genuine prayer looks like. You see, genuine prayer is in response to the Word of God. Verse 2, I, Daniel, observed in the books of the numbers of the years which was revealed as the word of the God to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 days. You see, Daniel has been reading in God's word, particularly Jeremiah, and he's discovered the length of time that Jerusalem was going to be left desolate, 70 years. To him, it meant that it was almost time for the Lord to come and restore God's kingdom. He's been in captivity for 65 or more years. He's looking at maybe 2 or 3 more years. God's coming back. The Lord's coming back. He is seeing in God's word what God has for him. How about you? Are you searching God's word? Are you in here seeking to see what He has for you? Church, search God's word and discover what He has for you and then pray about it. As Daniel's doing right now, he's praying to God. Genuine prayer is in response to God's word. You read, it's going to cause you to pray about it. Genuine prayer is characterized by God's passion and self-denial, or by passion and self-denial. You see, Daniel says in verse 3, I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek Him in prayer. See, he's seeking the Lord in earnest prayer, not just lightly praying to God, oh God, I need this, I need that. He is passionate in his prayers, seeking God. He says, I gave my attention to the Lord God in supplication. You see, he's asking and begging for something with humility. Passion again. In verse 3, Daniel continues and he says, I prayed and gave attention to the Lord, seeking him with fasting, sackcloth, and ash. Daniel's not having any food. He's got on rough clothes. Pretty much has nothing. He's in self-denial to pray to God. Are you passionate in your prayers to seek God? Are you earnestly praying and not just lightly asking, but passionately, sincerely praying to God? Do you sometimes go without a meal and spend that time that you would be eating praying? Daniel did. How about this? Do you deny yourself sleep? Self-denial? Do you get up early in the morning and spend time in prayer with God? Self-denial, church. Genuine prayer is characterized by passion and self-denial. Genuine prayer is strengthened by confession. Daniel confesses in verses 5, 9, and 15. He says, we have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have acted wickedly and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and your ordinances. Verse 6, Daniel confesses, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets. Are you spending time in God's word listening to what he has said through the writers and then doing it? Or do you just read God's word and it really doesn't sink in and you go on your life with no change? In verse 7 and 8, Daniel says, open shame belongs to us because of our unfaithful deeds which we have committed against you. Here, Daniel sees and understands shame. Have you ever done something wrong, and when it was found out, you were ashamed by it? In verse 10 and 14, Daniel says, we have not obeyed the voice of our Lord God to walk in his teachings, which he has set before us through his servants, the prophets. Verse 11. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed your laws and turned aside. All Israel has not obeyed your voice. We have sinned against God. Well, church, Christian, you've not obeyed the word of God. You don't listen and do. You've transgressed his laws and turned aside to your own ways. You have sinned against God. And because of your unfaithful deeds of not following God's word, but doing what you want, shame belongs to you. Daniel acknowledges why Israel is where they are and is what why it's happening to them. In verse 13, he says, all this calamity has come on us. Israel is in captivity again. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquities and giving attention to his truths. Church, you're most likely having the problems that you're having or in the situation that you're in because you've not sought the Lord's favor through genuine prayer. If you confess your sins in prayer and turn from them, then your relationship with God will be strengthened. Genuine prayer depends on God's character. In verse 4, we see Daniel call God is great. God is the Almighty, the one that's created all things and gives life and sustains it. He says God is great and awesome. Now, some of your Bibles will say dreadful. God is dreaded. Why? Because he's the one that can destroy the body and the soul in hell. Matthew 10:28. God is great and awesome. Here's another character. God is loving kindness. He gives loving kindness to us. He gives mercy to us. He's a merciful God. Your sins and all your iniquity and the things that you do wrong do not stop him from showing you mercy. He loves you. God is forgiving. Verse 9. Do you genuinely depend on God, Almighty, dreadful, merciful, just and lawful, forgiving God? In your prayers and in your life, you must genuinely depend on God's character. genuine prayer must be addressed to God. In verses 4 through 19, we hear Daniel say, I pray to the Lord my God. I prayed to the Lord our God. O Lord, O my God. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 9, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven. Genuine prayer must be addressed to God. Genuine prayer must have as its goals God's glory. In verse 16, Daniel prays. He says, O Lord, in accordance with your righteous acts. In verse 17, Daniel prays, for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. Prayers for God's glory. In verse 18, he says, your great compassion. In verse 19, for your own sake, O Lord, because of your people who are called by your name. We must genuinely pray with God's glory in mind. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus uses prayer for God's kingdom to come. He also says, for God's will to be done. We're going to go through the Lord's Prayer here in a few weeks. I think it's coming up. This is part of the Lord's teaching us on how to pray. Pray for God's glory. Pray for God's kingdom. Jesus himself, in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Not for my will, but for your will to be done. When you pray, genuine prayer must have as its goal God's glory. In your prayers, are you seeking God's glory? Are you just seeking your needs? Prayer is more than just asking for things. Now we're going to come to our first point. Point one, God answers prayer because of his love and mercy. Verse 18, crying out with great intense passion, Daniel says, Oh my God, incline your ears and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation and the city which is called by your name. Daniel is in great distress. He's praying to God earnestly. This verse and verse 19 show just how exceedingly Daniel had it at his heart for God to grant his request. Open your eyes, open your ears, and behold your people. They are in desolation. They are in captivity again. The desolation of his city and his temple. In other words, look with pity on this most distressing and sorrowful case. Daniel is pleading with God to hear his cry for help. Now, he knows that God sees and knows and hears all things. Nothing's hidden from God. Yet Daniel, still praying, wanting God to hear him, praying for him to remember the desolation of God's people. Continuing, Daniel prays and he says, For we are not presenting our supplication before you on account of any merits of our own, but on the account of your great compassion. You see, Daniel understood that he, nor did any of God's people, deserve an answer. For we are not presenting our supplication before you on account of any merits of our own. In other words, on the account of our righteousness, or on the account of anything that we can do right. God does not answer our prayers because of that. You cannot hope to have your prayers answered for the sake of anything that you say, do, can say, or can do. You're not worthy. You cannot earn anything because there's nothing good in you. The only reason that God answers our prayers is because of His great compassion, mercy, and love for us. You see, the writer of Lamentations understood this. Lamentations 3:21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassion never fails. Church, if you need hope to experience and enjoy God's love and mercy, there it is. Because of His great love. You are a sinner. You are a broken image bearer of God. It's only because God loves and compassion that He wants to give you mercy and answer your prayers. So when you pray, pray with humility, knowing that you don't deserve to have your prayers answered, but He wants to answer them. Genuine prayer. God answers prayer because of His love and mercy. Point two. Prayer confesses fallenness and asks for forgiveness. Verse 19, Daniel's continuing praying, O Lord, hear! O Lord, forgive! O Lord, listen and take action! For your own sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. Daniel has spent years following his faith in God. In the beginning of chapter 9, we see him address God, and then the next thing he does is he's confessing to God. Look what he says there in verse 5 and 6. He says, we have sinned against you, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. We've not listened to your servants, the prophet, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. In verse 19, Daniel is pleading for God's mercy. He's asking for his prayers to be granted. He's confessing that God's people have sinned and are in need of God's action. Forgive our sins and deliver. He's asking that the sins of God's people will not stand in the way of them receiving God's mercy. Oh Lord, hear and do. Don't just listen, but hear and do something. Like Daniel, when you pray, confess that you're a sinner and not deserve an answer. Plead with Him to not just hear your prayers, but to take action. Prayer confesses fallenness and asks for forgiveness. Now we're going to come to our application. Our application is enjoy God by genuinely calling on Him in confession. Now you're probably thinking, Vernon, how in the world can I enjoy confession? Nobody likes to tell things that they're doing wrong. There's no joy in that. Well, the joy is the results of confession. You see, have you ever done something wrong that your parents told you, and then later came through and admitted that you did it? What happened? Not at first. I know at first you probably had consequences. I had many consequences. But really, what happened after you confessed and admitted you did something wrong? You returned and restored to a right position. You enjoyed life and were happy again. You see, if you confess to the Lord, then He'll save you. Confession results in righteousness and results in salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. How joyful is it knowing that your confessions restore you to a right position with God and then gives you salvation? There's our proposition. Confession through genuine prayer will help you experience and enjoy God's love and mercy. Confess, expect some consequences, and then you were restored to the right position with God. Hallelujah. That ought to make you happy and enjoy and experience God in your life. When you're praying, always address God first. Start your prayers with Father God, our Father who is in heaven, like Jesus taught us. Lord, Lord Jesus. Always pray, acknowledging who you're praying to, the one and only true God. When you pray, ask for God's glory to be heard and seen. See, most of the time when we pray for God to answer our prayers, we just want Him to answer our prayers and get us out of a situation we're in. We don't ask for His glory to be seen in it. We don't expect the Almighty God to answer. He's loving and forgiving. We should be praying for God to answer so that His righteousness is seen, so that God's face shines on our desolate situation, so that God's will be done. Your prayers should contain confession. When you hear a message from a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, Bible study, and something hits you, touches you in your heart, maybe you're not doing something that you should be doing. We hear that a lot from this pulpit and from our teaching on Wednesday nights. We're not doing things. How about maybe when you're doing something wrong that you shouldn't be doing? Confess it to the Lord in prayer and ask God for forgiveness. Now, maybe you're reading in a Bible study and something touches your heart. Immediately go to God in confession and ask for forgiveness. I've got a situation that I've been in, and I hear some of you say it before. You go to the mailbox, or however it is you check your bills today, I'm on your phone or whatever, and there's your mortgage payment, or your car payment, insurance payment. Some bill is due, and you flip through there and you find your bank account. There's not enough money to make that payment. You go to God in prayer. I've been there and done it. And all of a sudden, a card or an envelope shows up, or someone slips you some money, and it's the exact amount of money you need to make that payment. Go to God in prayer, confess, and He will answer. God answers prayers. Here's another situation that my wife and I have been in, and I'm sure some of you may have been in it before. You're down to the end of your groceries. Now, I was scraping the bottom of a peanut butter jar to make a sandwich to split with my wife. and somebody brought me some groceries. God answers prayers. How about this? Someone that you love is really sick. Maybe even in the hospital. Maybe they're really sick or you're really sick. Maybe you've been told you have cancer. Miss Diane, I'm going to share a little bit about it. I heard something with her daughter, her granddaughter, in a real bad situation. You're in a similar situation as Daniel was. You're in great distress and a desperate situation for God to answer. Call out to God, "Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, listen and take action. Oh my God, do not delay because your child is in need." God will answer your prayers. Not because of something you said and not because of something you do. You're a sinner and don't deserve. But God answered. God answers prayers and our needs. The only reason he does is because of his great mercy and love for you. Now, maybe you're sitting here and you just realize, I don't have God in my life. I need salvation. You've been saying or doing things and telling people things, just giving God lip service so that they'll believe you're a Christian. Yet you know in your heart you're not. Maybe for the first time you're hearing God speak to you. If you go to God and call out from your heart, "Oh my God, incline your ears and hear me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, a wicked sinner. Come into my life and forgive me." Here's the great part. Here's the joyous part. He already has. He's forgiven you of everything you can do wrong. And he will save you. You see, at the eschaton, you're gonna have eternal life. Amen, church. Amen.